Hi, everyone. My name's Tristan. It's going to be really handy, as always, to have your Bible open. The section of Exodus that we're thinking about today, this last section of Exodus, we're actually thinking about a section that goes from chapter 35 all the way to the end at chapter 40. So going to be helpful to have your Bible there so that we can look through it together. Let me pray. Father, thanks for the book of Exodus. Father, thank you for the many ways that Exodus has been helping us to appreciate how you have powerfully rescued us to be your people through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, this last part of Exodus reminds me of Duck, Duck, Goose. Depending on your age, you might have been a while since you've played Duck, Duck, Goose, but I'm sure you know how it goes. Someone walks around the circle, tapping others on the head. Duck, 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 duck. And with each repetition of the word duck, everyone in the circle is a little more on edge. With every repetition of the word duck, the anticipation grows. With every repetition of the word duck, muscles tense. In suspense. Duck, 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 duck. Goose. The goose jumps up and the chase is on. Arms and legs explode into action. Around the circle they go until someone crashes back down in the empty spot. It's a little bit like what's happening in these last chapters of the book of Exodus. Particularly because these last chapters are full of repetition. In fact, there is hardly anything in these chapters, from chapter 35 all the way to chapter 40, there is hardly anything in these chapters that we haven't already read before in this series. But with each repetition in these chapters, the anticipation is growing. With each repetition, we're a little closer on the edge of our seats. With each repetition, we draw closer to one final explosive moment, one final extraordinary moment in the book, a moment that once we see it, we cannot sit still and do nothing. It calls every fibre of our being into action. Before we get to that extraordinary final moment at the very end of the book, let's first notice the repetition and let's notice the anticipation that is building and growing here. Which means we need to go right back to the start of today's section. So, chapter 35, you've got your Bible there, turn back from chapter 40 back to chapter 35. And let's notice how this starts. Just quickly, the context here, this is Yahweh speaking to his people through Moses. Remember, Yahweh, that's the name that God used to introduce himself to his people right back at the beginning of Exodus. This is Yahweh still speaking through Moses to his people on Mount Sinai. Chapter 35, verse 4. Moses said to all the people of Israel, "This is the thing Yahweh has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to Yahweh. Whoever's of a generous heart, let him bring Yahweh's contribution. Gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, stones for setting, for the ephod, for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that Yahweh has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks, its frames, its bars, its pillars, its bases." I'll pause there. The conversation is about the tabernacle. And from chapter 35, for the next five chapters, Moses describes how the tabernacle and all of its bits and pieces, how they're all to be made. Now, if you're feeling a bit of deja vu, that's understandable because we've actually already read this. And you might remember it from a couple of weeks ago. If you've got your Bible there, turn back even further from chapter 35 back to chapter 25 and have a look how chapter 25 starts. I'm not going to read it out again, because it's almost word for word what I just read. Take a contribution. make a tabernacle. See, starting in chapter 25, we've already spent six chapters covering this exact topic. Thousands of words repeated explaining this tabernacle tent. From chapter 25 and then again from chapter 35. That's not the end of the repetition, though. Let's go back to chapter 40, which Anne read for us earlier, and have a look how chapter 40 starts. Chapter 40, verse 1. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting." And then even here in chapter 40, the next 15 verses, Yahweh tells Moses again how to set up the tabernacle in great detail. Have a look at verse 16 of chapter 40. Because at chapter 16, Moses does it, and the whole thing gets repeated again. Chapter 16. "This Moses did, according to all Yahweh commanded him, so he did. In the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was set up." Most of chapter 40 is just the same thing being repeated twice. And in fact, for the best part of the last 15 chapters of the book of Exodus, we are being repeatedly, over and over again, being told about this tabernacle. It's all building to a really extraordinary moment. It's an extraordinary moment that itself gets repeated twice for us so that we can't possibly miss it. Here it is, the moment, chapter 40, verse 34. Chapter 40, verse 34. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses wasn't able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle." The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. It is a sentence so exceptional, it's repeated twice. The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. Right at the end of Exodus, this is the moment it has all been leading to. Everything that we have read in this book, Yahweh hearing the cries of his people in slavery in Egypt, God keeping his promises to his people, his unstoppable power, his determination to love, his dramatic rescue, his crushing victory, his kindness, his grace, his mercy, God who is so good, nothing stands in the way of his love. Roll all of those things together, and that's what this final part of Exodus means when it says his glory filled the tabernacle. The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. I mean, what an understatement that is. We're talking about the true and living God of all creation here. Yahweh who came down in a storm of fire and lightning and earthquakes, covering a mountain, now he's going to come and fill a tabernacle, a tent. A tent not even bigger than this building we're in this morning. Psalm 113 says, "Yahweh is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like Yahweh our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth?" How can the glory of Yahweh possibly fit in a tabernacle? I reckon it would be a bit like if I put this matchbox on the floor and I put my toe in it and I told you that I was in the matchbox. It's absurd to think that the glory of Yahweh could come down into a tabernacle. But here it is. These last verses in the book of Exodus, they're so short and they're so matter of fact. And I reckon it's because we just don't have the words to properly describe what's going on here. The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. The God of the universe, in all his power and all his glory, here he is, come down to be with his people. And this is even Remember last week we read about how God's people turned their back on his loving rescue and they turned and they bowed down to a gold calf? How much of an incredible insult that was to Yahweh and all his power and all his goodness. That was a kick in the guts after his promise to make his people his treasured possession. And yet even after that, he comes down. This last few verses of Exodus, this is an astonishing moment of graciousness and generosity. What's even more astonishing is the fact that this all-powerful, Pharaoh-defeating, promise-keeping, unstoppable God, this God whose presence covered a mountain in a storm of fire and lightning and earthquakes, when he came down to live with and be with and go with his people in a tent, the really astonishing thing is that was just a taste of something even better to come. In the whole Bible story, this astonishing moment in Exodus is it's just a support act. Because when Jesus arrives, well, this is how John's gospel describes it. In fact, what John does in his gospel, John very deliberately picks up on Exodus language to describe the arrival of Jesus. In John 1:14, he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Except what John really says is the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we have seen his glory. That's a word that John chooses very carefully to describe the arrival of Jesus in a way that reminds us of Exodus. To show us that in Jesus, we see all the glory of God, all of God's promise keeping, all of God's unmatched power, all God's determination to rescue, all of God's generous goodness to his people, all his mercy, all his grace, all come together in Jesus. Jesus who came to die to give his life in exchange for ours, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can stand confidently in the presence of Yahweh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the glory of Yahweh filling the tabernacle might have been the high point of Exodus, but Jesus' arrival and Jesus' death and his resurrection and his appointment as king and ruler of all, that's the glory of God filling the whole earth. I reckon it's a bit like Party in the Park. Man, that's been a roller coaster the last few weeks, hasn't it? I really love fireworks, so I was really disappointed when Party in the Park got cancelled. Bathurst New Year's Eve party. But now it's back on again, so I'm happy again. In the unfolding story of the Bible, Jesus is the fireworks. He is the end of it all. He's the crescendo, the high point, the thrill that it's all been leading to, that it's all been anticipating. It's Jesus. That's what we're about to celebrate next week. Christmas. It's all about God with us. And all the amazing things that we have discovered about God as we have read through Exodus. His faithful promises, his determination, his power, his rescue, his rule. All of those things are ours because Jesus has come down. And we've seen his glory, full of grace and truth. This is why Christmas is worth celebrating. In fact, this is why all year round here at BPC, we say we are all for Jesus. Because Jesus is the fireworks of the Bible story. It all leads to him. Well, look, let me finish the same way that we started this year. Let me finish by thinking for a moment about what this means for our togetherness as a church family here at Morning Church. Because all this repeated talk of the tabernacle in Exodus, you might remember we started this year reading in the New Testament how Jesus comes and he brings with him a building that's a bit like a tabernacle but is so much better than a tabernacle. The New Testament says, when we belong to Jesus, we, here at Morning Church, we're like living stones built together into a spiritual house. And Jesus, who is the glory of God, he now lives in his church, not the building, the people. We've thought about this year how that plays out here at Morning Church, how being living stones built together into a spiritual house, that makes us a body, with Jesus as our head. We are all connected. We belong to one another. We are all different, yet we're all essential. As we do all that we do together in love to build up the church of Christ. We read in Ephesians on our launch Sunday, all the way back in January, about how our church, being living stones in a spiritual house and being a body, that actually puts the genius of God on display. Ephesians says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is made known, even to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And that's all according to the eternal purpose of God that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, the glory that once filled the tabernacle now fills the church that belongs to Jesus. So all these things we've talked about this year, all the ways that we can strive to build each other up, are the commands to do all that we do together in love. The call to have a deep and selfless care and concern for one another. The challenge to go out of our way to treat one another with a special honor as children of God. All these things, they're not just take it or leave it kind of things. We do all these things because Yahweh became flesh and tabernacled among us. We've seen his glory. Because in Jesus, we are the people of the true and living God. And if we were to miss this about Jesus, well, I reckon it's a bit like being at party in the park. And, you know, you sit on the hard ground for hours and endure the heat and all the dodgy pub rock bands and the overpriced food, and as fun as all of that is, but going through all of that and then leaving 5 minutes before the fireworks start, you kind of miss the reason for being there. You kind of miss what it's all about, the whole point of the celebration. We are here for Jesus. It all comes together in him. We are a rescued people. We belong to an extraordinary rescuer. The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. But the Word became flesh and has tabernacled here among us, and we've seen his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your glory. Father, thanks for your goodness and your power and your mercy and grace. Father, thank you that we have seen your glory come to be with us in the Lord Jesus. Father, please may we never forget that Jesus is the very center of who we are together as your rescued people. Amen.